Winter is upon us now. Cozy up as lights go down. Deep and dark the longest night. We're drawn to the brightest edge of the world. Silhouetted trees so bare. Biting cold in moonlit air. Your icy breath that takes me there. To the brightest edge of the world. Frozen luscious frame you blues. This day the sun stands still with you. Time for stories to be told. Making angels in the snow. Catching flakes up on my tongue. We'll long to be forever young. You'll grasp my mitten and the chill. We'll muse this day the sun stands still. Seasons of the souls entwined. Release, relax, let go, recline. Hush ahead, we'll delve divine. To the brightest edge of the world. To empty needs, no mighty will. Powdered soft, becoming still. Like melting snow, we cleanse ourselves. This the day the sun stands still. Frozen lashes frame you blues. This day the sun stands still with you. Time for stories to be told. Making angels in the snow. Catching flakes up on my tongue. We'll long to be forever young. You'll grasp my mitten and the chill. We'll muse this day the sun stands still. This tradition of new wonder, as we find our souls going under, we sometimes wish it could stay, but nature has her cycles and must have her way. So we move with a circle and around we go, but we learn as the ages grow, a dark night of the soul doesn't last forever. Spring follows winter, like day follows night, we remember darkness followed by light. We move with the promise that whatever we let go of is replaced by something of equal or greater love.
Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. I hope everyone is doing well. We've got a new episode of You Talk on the way featuring Christmas and holiday-themed music and two interviews. One featuring You Multicultural's latest audio series, Ukrainian View, and an interview with Latinas Manitoba. Let's get into it.
Вітаю, з вами я, Юлія Коваленко, і ви слухаєте Ukrainian View на U-Radio. Сьогодні давайте дізнаємось про креативність і співпрацю, які використовуються для створення шоу «Цирку Дю Солей».
Добрий день, мене звуть Інна Тисленко, я з Кропивницького і мені 36 років.
Інно, що для вас цирк Дю Солей і наскільки для вас важливо те, чим ви займаєтесь?
Ой, для мене це, перш за все, енергія, яку я віддаю людям в залі і яку я получаю від них у відповідь. Тому для мене це як заряд енергії, це як медитація, я б сказала. Але ми багато працюємо і подорожуємо, тому це дуже-дуже, я не знаю, як об'яснити. Це заряджає тебе енергію і ти хочеш, це як адреналін, і ти знову-знову хочеш повернутись на сцену. І мені подобається, що в моєму номері я наверху, над сценою, тому мені дуже подобається дивитися, як люди реагують на те, що ми робимо.
Ну і що ви бачите? Які емоції відчувають глядачі? Як вони реагують на ваше шоу?
Ой, вони реагують, наче вони за нас переживають дуже. Так, так. Оце, я думаю, те, що я бачу. Вони дуже за нас переживають і вони, мені кажеться, не очікують навіть бачити такого. Я не знаю, мені дуже подобається їх дивувати. Мені подобається дивитись на людей, які беруться за серце. І вони так.
І цікаво, як ви думаєте, хто переживає більше? Ви за себе чи все-таки глядачі за вас?
Я думаю, люди за мене, так.
Кожне ваше шоу збирає повну залу глядачів. Як ви вважаєте, у чому головний секрет успіху цирку Дю Солей? За що люди люблять це шоу і повертаються знову і знову?
Я думаю, це, може, живий перформанс, я не знаю, дуже мені близький контакт, люди дуже близько до сцени. І мені кажеться, вони переживають історію разом з нами. Мені кажеться, іноді ми можемо їх до них доторкнутися. Тим, що ми показуємо.
Що допомагає вам входити в образ і як найкраще передавати історію глядачам, аби вони прожили цю історію разом з героями?
Ви знаєте, як наш креатор, коли він балакає до нас і каже, як ми повинні себе вести, він тільки питає нас бути як натуральними. Що не треба бути великим актором. Будь собою і роби момент. If you need to run, якщо вам потрібно біжати, ти реально біжи. Ти не роби гру, що ти, може, біжиш, може, ні. Все, він просить нас бути реальними. Якщо ви переживаєте політ, коли Мауро він літає з ангелами, це він що нас просить бути натуральними. Представи, що ти справді ти літаєш, що ти можеш літати, ну, і щоб люди переживали це з тобою. Так, я думаю, це один із секретів, тому що це дуже реально. Це наче момент, в якому ти живеш.
Поділіться з нами, розкрийте секрет. Наскільки ж велика ваша команда і скільки людей працюють над шоу?
Ну, нас на сцені 52 артисти, це з музикантами. У нас є свій живий бенд, і вони грають з нами. І за сценою працює ще десь така ж кількість людей. Це наші технічні люди, і наш тур-сервіс, і кітчен, кейтеринг, і медикал, PMED. So we have Big team, yeah.
Ми знаємо, що команда цирку Дю Солей мультикультурна. Різні культури мають різні погляди на певні речі та цінності. Чи виникають якісь труднощі чи непорозуміння у команді через різність менталітету або поглядів?
Ні. Мені кажеться, люди тут адаптуються так швидко. І це так інтересно, як кожна країна чи проводять день народження навіть. Це дуже-дуже різні традиції. І я знаю, що всі люди люблять приходити до українців на дні народження, тому що в нас дуже багато їжі завжди. Так.
Чи виросла зацікавленість ваших іноземних колег та друзів до України, української культури з початку повномасштабного вторгнення в Україні?
Ну, я б сказала так, тут всередині ні. Але моїм друзям і знайомим, так, я це бачу, і я дуже, як сказати, я дуже пишаюся Україною, і я бачу, що всі мої друзі, всі знайомі, всі підтримують мене, люди донатять, люди питають мене силки, куди слати. Тому я чувствую підтримку навколо мене.
І чи є у вашої команди певні традиції перед виходом на сцену?
Ну, я працюю в двох різних командах, і там трішки різні ритуали, але так. Ми завжди збираємося разом перед тим, як заходити на сцену. І ми робимо якісь ритуали, які ми контактуємо з друг другом. Може, якесь доторкання до рук, як з моїми партнерами з польоту. У нас є такі тейпи, де вони нас ловлять. Ось перед виходом я торкаюсь своїх партнерів всіх, і дівчат, і хлопців. Це такий маленький ритуал. І з дівчатами з таких прекрасних люстр. У нас якийсь трішки другий ритуал, але ми також торкаємось друг друга. Ми робимо контакт і потім виходимо показувати реальне шоу.
Бути такими реальними. Так.
Тому що наш директор, він дуже-дуже це полюбляє, і він дуже любить несиметрію, щоб не було якогось рівномірного пространства на сцені, щоб було якось новизну, щоб не було воно ідеально. Щоб це було трошечки здивування.
А яка ваша улюблена частина цього шоу?
Моя улюблена парочку, але музика. Музика торкає мене дуже. Мене практично кожне шоу від різних мелодій появляються goosebumps. Музика це щось дуже-дуже прекрасне. І моє улюблене, якщо взяти з акробатики, мені дуже подобається, у нас є тітаборд, називається, це така доска, і хлопці пригають, вони виталкують друг друга під своїм же тілом, весом. І це дуже-дуже великий рівень і акробатики, і трюків, що вони роблять. Це просто неймовірно, я не знаю. І в цей момент ми всі артисти на сцені з ними. І це дуже-дуже сильно бути там. І кожен раз, коли вони пригають, просто відпразнувати це з ними, закричати. Yes! So, it's very, very, very strong.
Підготовка до шоу – це дуже тяжкий і виснажливий процес. Чи приносить вам тренування задоволення, чи ви все ж таки отримуєте задоволення виключно від виступу на сцені?
Я думаю, що цей весь підготовчий процес, він дуже, так сказати, це не дуже весело, це тяжко, але мені кажеться, коли в тебе є мета, і коли ти йдеш до цієї мети, це не так важко, це повинно бути якийсь фан, тому що ми все робимо для гарних емоцій. І також ця підготовка, вона повинна бути з якимось позитивним настроєм і енергією. Так?
Які емоції ви хочете, аби залишились у глядачів після перегляду вашого шоу?
Емоції, я думаю, це можуть бути різні емоції, тому що іноді хочеться в якийсь момент і поплакати, тому що це дуже сумно. Якісь моменти в шоу, вони дуже, дуже сумні. Тому різні люди, може, будуть отримувати різні емоції, але емоції фану і сміху – це гарантовано. Тому що це шоу для дітей, і там дуже, дуже смішні моменти, які ми кожне шоу дивимося на бекстейджі по телевізору, як отам, на весь телевізор, і ми сміємось кожне шоу. Тому що це живий перформанс, і кожний перформанс, він різний. він ніколи не повторюється. Це ще один із моментів, що мені подобається, що це кожну ніч щось різне.
Дуже дякую.
З вами була я, Юлія Коваленко. Дякую, що слухаєте Ukrainian View на U-Radio. До зустрічі наступного ефіру.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Fernanda Vallejo saw a need to build a community, creating a Facebook group for Latin American Canadian women and other newcomers. That group has become the not-for-profit Latinas Manitoba. She now has plans for a community center and is also increasing awareness around intimate partner violence. Let's get into it.
My name is Maria Fernanda Vallejo. I'm from Quito, Ecuador. So this country is in South America. Well, I speak Spanish, English, trying to learn French. I have 3 kids. Founder of Latinas Manitoba, which is a non-profit organization. which was legally incorporated on 2021. It's kind of funny how that started or began. It began during the pandemic as a Facebook group.
What sort of got those wheels turning to make it a nonprofit?
When I came here to Canada, there were not that many Latin people, I will say. I used to be really surprised when I used to take a bus and listen to someone speaking in Spanish, right? I met a lot of people from El Salvador, Chile at that point of my life. And most of the women, they were kind of depressed or kind of ashamed to talk about their feelings, about leaving their families far, far away. Or sometimes maybe because the reason why they came to Canada. Most of them were refugees, but I had my family here. So my family probably arrived like 30, 35 years ago, I believe. My auntie is one of the persons who inspired me.
People choose Canada or Winnipeg for a variety of reasons. And, you know, sometimes when you get here, it can be a struggle, whether that's language barriers, cultural barriers, or as you're mentioning, a cultural community that you're close to isn't necessarily around. So I guess maybe is that part of the reason why you wanted to create this, inspired by your aunt to create a community to help bring people together?
So I found inspiration in all the women that I've met at first, right? So they used to go to a church, and I knew that most of them really enjoy go shopping, for example, during the weekends or every day. They didn't get along for different reasons, maybe because people think that they're going to gossip on the other one, you know, cultural reasons. But when the pandemic began, I thought, what are they going to do now at home? So I am a survivor, an IPV survivor. And he said, well, if all these women are going to be at home, I need them to start talking, making new friends, find a hand or support. And that's why I offer. Now I'm so happy to say that I'm helping 1.7K women here in Manitoba.
Wow.
I've been learning a lot of them. That's fantastic. In the last 5 years, I know that the Latin America community grew up a lot. Now we have like 20,000 Latinos here.
Yeah, it's a community that is starting to really get its feet on the ground here in Manitoba and building a presence.
For most of us, it's not easy to come to another country, leave your family. So we all need friends and a community, to build a community. So that's why I create all this initiative, thinking and helping and supporting Latin American women first. But then I noticed that women are not the only one who needs some help and support, also men. Now I'm trying to support every gender, yeah, by helping them with building the resumes, telling them how to take a bus, those kind of specific things. What I'm trying to tell people is just to don't be scared or ashamed or for asking for help, because we're going to need help at one point, and we were not born knowing everything. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
So after 12 years, I'm still getting lost. I don't know where's the south or the north.
That's okay. I get lost all the time myself.
So I'm assuming they're going to need some help, right? Where to start, how to find a job, what kind of resources we have available here in Winnipeg, especially. There are a lot of organizations that can help them, but they don't know. Some years ago, there was a problem. People trying to take advantage of other people. So what I was trying to do with my group is telling them all the information is online or here for free. You don't need to pay nobody to explain you how to start, right? Or even to do your documents, etc. So nowadays, people really appreciate all the help that I've been offering. And it's amazing how the community is getting together. Now we have a lot of associations, organizations from Ecuador, Colombia, Peru, Chile, most of the Latin American countries.
Asking for help is such a challenge, especially if you're coming to a place, and as you're mentioning, you don't know what's here, what services are available. Building that friendship, building that community, and letting them know, you know, it's okay to be vulnerable.
And it's pretty normal that people get depressed or have anxiety about different situations. Maybe they cannot leave their houses because of the weather. And not only newcomers, also people that have been here for years. My grandma, she is 87 years old now. The winter, really difficult. Yeah. I'm trying to empower the women here because I know they are able. They are capable to go ahead with their lives, right? Sometimes we, not only women, also men, but we have, I don't want to say obstacles, but yeah, the word is obstacles, challenges, obstacles that don't let us see more or figure out what we can do by ourselves. Sometimes we are in a relationship that is toxic, but we cannot leave them because we think it's only our supportive circle, right? But if we're being abused, harassed all the time, we can open a new door and find more help. I never had the Canadian dream. So I never thought that I'd come to Canada or try to move here. But I don't know, what's the destiny? My parents were here. They sponsored me and I came. But the first couple of years, I used to run away. I used to come to work or study, save some money, go back to Ecuador. And after a couple of months, coming back, and that was my life until I became pregnant. And I decided that my life had to change.
Sometimes there's those moments, those like wake up moments where you're like, okay, I got to start taking a new path.
Yeah. Yeah, so I used to be a backpacker, a martial arts teacher back home. Now I haven't practiced martial arts like for 6 years, but I'm a black belt.
Oh, very exciting. What sort of style did you use?
Shotokan, karate, hapkido, and a little bit of Krav Maga.
Wow, that's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I studied martial arts for over 10 years, I will say. Since I was 19 or 18 years old, probably.
What sort of inspired you to pursue that?
Well, you know, I never knew what I want to be or study after the college or the high school. I went to the university, studied hospitality and tourism, but I thought that they'll take me to trips and know my country or South America, but that didn't happen. So after three years, I got kind of tired. Switch careers. I graduated as a chef, so I cook, but I couldn't travel. So I decided I wanna live my life, enjoy every single moment of my life at that point of life. I was a little bit not hippie, but super open mind, I can say.
Yeah, you had that wanderlust within you, always wanting to explore, travel, experience new things.
And that's when my trip began. I learned how to make like crafts and I started selling them. In my country, it used to be super easy just to get rides to go from one province to another province or travel around Ecuador. And from Ecuador, then you can go to Peru, to Colombia, Venezuela, Chile, Argentina, Brazil. So I enjoyed that period of my life, but I also hit the ground, I will say.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah. So I was not taking the best decisions, maybe because I was young and crazy. like the song. So after I became pregnant, I thought about my situation. Yeah, having a family is it's gonna change my life. I have this big opportunity in Canada. Why I'm not gonna take advantage of it and just so that's why I came here. I decided to move finally to Canada. And I'm so glad that I decided, because I'm giving my son the best opportunities here. Situation in Ecuador is really, really bad. Yeah, super challenging. So we used to have our own currency. It used to be Sucre. But we had a president who decided to switch the currency to US dollars. So with $5, you were able just to get what? A little bag of milk and maybe two breads. And I don't know, I'm not quite sure how is the economical situation now, but I know people from Peru, Colombia, Venezuela are immigrating to Ecuador. And there's a kind of war in jails because, you know, narcos are like buying people around the world. Yeah, that's a kind of tough situation in whole South America, I will say. So I think that's one of the reasons why people are moving out of the country, not only Ecuador.
It's an incredibly complex socio-political situation down there with a long, if you're wanting to start a new you're starting a family and you had this opportunity, it's like, why not take it?
So I'll be feeling really guilty if I never took this decision of coming to Canada. Now I can offer all my children. I have three right now. No more. Yeah.
Three is enough.
more than enough. They are like little ducklings behind me. Thanks. But I'm offering my children a house, food, security, health, access to some things that they cannot have there in Ecuador.
For your organization, Latinas Manitoba, what is kind of the hope looking ahead? You started it during COVID. It's grown since then. What's kind of the hope and plans looking towards the future?
What's my vision is to build something like a community center, but also a shelter for women, right? A community center, because we need a space to show our art, our culture, our music, to get together, to practice Spanish, to teach our children our culture, the language once again. Most of them are losing the Spanish, I will say. Sometimes we adults, we cannot remember how to say some words in English or Spanish, and that's kind of confusing or annoying sometimes. but yeah, so that's one of the reasons. Old people, they need to go outside. They need to talk. Even if they don't speak Spanish, they can meet other people from the community, communicate. That's really important to avoid depression, which is one of the most common problems here.
Yeah, it's so important to create those unified spaces where you can celebrate music, art, language. And as you're mentioning, the struggle to maintain the language in the latest generations, it's something that we hear about in many different diasporas, of those struggles of balancing your kind of Canadian experience, your Canadian culture, and the culture of your parents, family, and heritage. And yeah, it's always trying to find that good balance.
Right now in this world, we don't need to challenge ourselves, like try to be better than the other one. So if we can help the other person to get a better job or to get better opportunities, why not? Right?
We're all in this together, right? We're all in this experience of what it is to be human. And there's no point in trying to climb over each other
That's right.
Why not lift each other up? We can all support each other in these challenging times. I've been talking with a lot of Christmas Cheer Board, Community Helpers Unite, a lot of food services here in Winnipeg, and their numbers are astronomical. Like, they're incredibly high. Like, things are tumultuous. I think I said that word wrong. Things are challenging right now. And, you know, it's important, regardless of what communities we're from, to come together.
Yeah, that's really, really important. So when you need help or support, to know where to go or to whom you can talk and share your story, or try to be some confident, right? So if you need clothing, food, for example, as you mentioned, there are a lot of resources that you mentioned. I'm also offering one of those resources. I have the project Latinas Closet. So I try to recollect secondhand clothes, but that people can reuse, right? And also food, no perishable food. So I try to create hampers, make some hampers for people in need, not only Latinos. I have some people from Philippines, India, that knock my door, I will say.
For anyone who needs it.
I'm not just close to Latin community. So if someone needs a hand and I'm able to support, so I have access to ask in my community, at least on the Facebook group. If we don't have like size number 8 for a girl, hey, someone has this available, just try to find something around. And as I said, support. This is the word here. Support each other. We can grow together.
So this love and passion for community, is that kind of what inspired you to join us at U Multicultural? U Multicultural as a community host, to be there to continue to tell the stories of people here?
That's a really good question. Yeah, it's one of the things that inspired me to join to U Multicultural, to share stories, share resources, provide information, because there is a lot of misinformation, miscommunication. We don't have access to the news now. Yeah. So if we can discover, for example, I had Jorge Fernandez from the Immigrant Center. He was saying that they are trying to have some flyers at least at the airport, so people, when they first arrive, they know which places are safe to go, or what kind of community services, agencies, organizations are available in different languages. That's really important.
Yeah, it doesn't really help if it's only in English, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What else inspired me? Because I like to communicate in one part of my life. As I told you, I study martial arts. I met a friend, one really good friend in Ecuador. He used to be an actor in New York. Yeah, so he hired me and said, hey, Fernanda, you know martial arts, I need an extra. And probably there's when my passion start for the cameras and videos and these kind of things. I really enjoy it. And now that this opportunity appeared in my life, I really appreciate it. I feel like it's opening more doors for me in order to help my community. Now my organization is recognized as a nonprofit, so I'm being invited to do workshops with SID Winnipeg, the ethnocultural group, the Immigrant Center, and some other places. Yeah. So that's what I want to do one day. So how I see my organization is a kind of immigrant center built by me in order to support more people. And once again, especially women, because we've been suffering in silence for years. And in our culture, when we are being abused, or sometimes we feel ashamed of recognizing what's going on. That happened to me. That's happening. So I'm trying to pass the message to all of them. The domestic violence is not only physical, it's psychological, it's emotional, financial, religious, right?
It takes on so many different forms.
Exactly. So that's why I create this campaign. And also because October, November is the month of IPV awareness. So I'm trying to pass the voice, because when I'm doing workshops, I know just some amount of people are going to attend, but the people that really need, maybe they are at home and they don't have access to their phones, or I don't know how to reach everybody, but if we can share the message slowly, maybe we can do something for each other.
It is such a complex situation, multifaceted. Like, it is, it's horrible when violent or domestic violence, abuse of any sort takes place. And as you're mentioning, yes, you know, for people who need it the most, you know, sometimes they do not have access to services to support them during that time. But, you know, bringing awareness continues to change, remove that stigma of people who are maybe hesitant to reach out for help, as well as maybe give people the tools and resources to recognize what's happening and maybe provide some information to that individual.
And then it's up to everybody, right? Because we cannot force no one to decide what to do. But if we left a little seed there, they'll find how to leave the situation, I will say, how to move forward.
That's why it's important to build community, right? To have those places where someone who is getting out of that situation, to have people who can support them and care about them.
And one of the most difficult or challenges situations here is the language barrier. So let's say you have to leave your house and you go to a shelter. If they speak only English, they cannot wait forever until someone finds, try to translate what you're saying on Google or with a machine. So, or you cannot wait forever for an interpreter, especially if you have children, right? Yeah, so there are a lot of cases. I'm going to show you a nice story. There was a lady who was an IPV victim. No physically, but emotionally for over 12 years, I will say. One of her daughters had cancer, and she had four other kids. She went to one of the resources, I will say, like, she found a social worker, a Spanish-speaking social worker, but she was living on hold, like, since November until February. And that's when I start feeling this passion of helping people, because if I went through that, and if I have one resource, the language, if I can try to communicate what she was looking for or feeling, or just making some phone calls to try to find a safe place for her and her children, well, and I was able to. And there's when I found a Sherry Winsley from Shade. Safe housing. I don't remember what's the meaning of Shade right now. I'm sorry, Sherry. But yeah, she is a super good social worker. She speaks only English, but she has been helping a lot of women here in Manitoba. She's one of my mentors. Also, Humaira Jalil. She's from Healthy Muslim Families. I really love these two ladies. they are my mentors. I'm trying, if I have any questions about, hey, this is happening, what can I do? They have the answer for me.
And it is the Safe Housing and directed empowerment.
Yes. So after that, we found a shelter for this lady. Well, they had to call me to do some interpretations for her, right, with her worker at the shelter. Finally, she found how to move to another province because that was one of her dreams. Just leave Manitoba, go to Alberta. She's living in Alberta now, happy with her four children. She has a car. She can drive. She's renting a house. She got a job. So she can see now what she was able to do it before. And that's what I mean by obstacles before. Sometimes you don't want to see what's going on or what's happening in your life. But when you let the obstacle go, I will say, you're going to notice that you're able to reach the heaven if you want. So I don't think there's nothing impossible for us until...
Anything is possible if you're driven and have individuals and organizations to help you through those challenging times.
I just want to congratulate my community because they are growing and we are growing together, holding our hands, I will say. Colombians, Peruvians, people from Chile, Ecuador, they have their own associations, but they are trying to maintain our culture, our language, our music, our dances, the folklore, which is really important to share. And yeah, and also if they have a situation that like one of these ones, they try to reach me. Hey, Fernanda, can you help? Yes, of course. And that's how we are moving forward.
Fernanda, thank you so much for taking this time to chat with me. And I'm excited to see how not only Latinas Manitoba grows, but the Latino community as a whole continues to grow here in Winnipeg and Manitoba. And for everyone listening, let's continue to be a community together. Help people when they're experiencing challenges and be that support.
For sure. So, yeah, as I said, it's not a competition. Together we are stronger and we can make things happen.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white, but I'll have a blue, 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 blue Christmas. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white, of a blue, 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 blue Christmas. But I'll have a blue, 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 blue Christmas. But I'll have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
Hey, thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in every Tuesday for more stories from your community. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk. And have yourself a good one.